I want to welcome those who are watching online as well. Wherever you are around the world, Sweden, and I know Sal is going to post this in the international Christian group that he has, so I want to say hi to those all around the world as well, especially Sweden, right? Jane, Gail says hello. There you go. Make sure you turn around and say hello to Jane. There you go. She watches with us every Sunday, and those who are watching now out west. Today's text is Joshua chapter 9, Luke chapter 23, and Psalm 84. I know some of you were disappointed because we took a break on Joshua, and John was here for 4 weeks leading up to Easter, and Eve covered for me last week. You guys appreciate Eve for covering last week? Thank you. I heard lots of compliments. I heard that I might be losing my job as well, so... Go for it, Eve. Go for it. But Joshua chapter 9, turn your Bibles there. I want you to know, it's important to know the book of Joshua because it's the foundation of your faith. It's the foundation of Judaism, which is where we get Christianity. So a quick review here. Joshua is a book of conquest. He's a military leader. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. This is after the death of Moses. This conquest takes about 7 years, okay? This strip of land, it's the size of New Jersey, okay? This little strip of land is the size of New Jersey. Have you noticed throughout history that everyone is fighting over this little piece of land? Everyone is fighting over this little piece of land of the size of New Jersey. Something special about that little piece of land. It's God's chosen land, the land of Canaan, where God says, this is your land, the land overflowing with milk and honey. So Joshua is about to enter into that little piece of land and to take it. And before he went in, the simple command from God was nothing extraordinary. He says, don't look right, don't look left, stay focused. And his words is, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Pretty simple. Don't look right, don't look left, be strong and courageous, because I am with you. Don't be afraid. Pretty simple. If you're a good Christian, you should have this in your home. If you're a good Christian. Now, if you're a really good Christian, the other one that he said, that David Benton introduced in this series for us a couple months ago, as for me and... as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you guys have that in your homes? There you go, a bunch of you. I put this on Facebook, and a bunch of you had it in your home. How many of you guys bought this very passage scripture from Hobby Lobby? All right, there you go. Now you are like the Christian of Christians, okay? You are it, all right? Everything in. How many of you guys eat a Chick-fil-A as well? Okay, so you have that in your house, and you eat a Chick-fil-A. You are like the good Christians. They don't pay me for that plug, by the way, okay? So they should. They should. But you should make the connection by now, after 10 weeks of this already. Joshua symbolizes Jesus in the Old Testament. He delivered people out of slavery and bondage into the promised land, foreshadowing Jesus delivering us out of our own earthly bondage into a spiritual freedom in God. So the conquest begins. First, they sent out the spies. You guys remember that? And they crossed the Jordan River on flood stage, on dry ground. They built stones and memorials to remember God. The walls of Jericho came crumbling down because they marched around it and blowed the trumpets. And then after that, the men were circumcised with flint knives. So that was very painful. And God punished Achan for keeping some of the goods after they went into Ai. I hope you remember those. If you don't, all the sermons are online. Make sure you go back and visit. Today is Joshua and the Gibeonites. Joshua and the Gibeonites. You guys ready? Have your Bibles? Joshua chapter 9. Okay, I can't believe how long I have this thing. I can't the words are, I can't even read. What's happening to me? I can't even read this thing anymore. Is that normal? Is that normal? Okay. We're going to put it, okay. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskin cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supplies was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the Israelites, "We have come from the distant land. Make treaty with us." Your attention up here, okay? This is what's happening. So everyone was teaming up against God. You should read this at home, Joshua chapter 9, to keep up with your Bible study. Everyone heard what happened, and they were teaming up to fight against the Israelites and Joshua, except one tribe, the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites put on old sandals, worn-out clothes, molded bread, and old wine skin because they had to make the impression that they were traveling from far away. In actuality, it was only 5 miles hike from here to Delray, Atlantic Avenue. But they had to make the impression that they traveled from far away because according to God's law to the Israelites, he said, don't make any treaty with anybody in the land of Canaan. I don't know how the Gibeonites knew that, but they knew that. So they had to make the impression that they were traveling from afar. Now, the mistake that Joshua made, as you read further in Joshua chapter 9, is that he didn't inquire the Lord. So they made treaty with them. Okay, so that's pretty much chapter 9 of Joshua. That's what happened to the story. We'll cover that part next week, but this week I want to focus on Joshua and the Gibeonites. In this world, there are two types of people. And I'm not talking about your biological genetic makeups. I know you're baiting me into talking about that, okay? I know that's what you're thinking, but I'm not. But there are two types of people in this world. Okay, we'll cover it real quick. God created male and female. He created them. We're clear with that, all right? But that's not what we're talking about today. Move on. But God created male and female. He created them. But there are two types of people in this world. The two types of people I'm talking about, it's those that fear God or those that reject God. There are two types of people. Those that fear God and those that reject God. Not just any God. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh, the Hebrew word, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. That's the God I am talking about, the God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that flooded the earth because man was so bad, but then at the same time he provided a rainbow. That God, the God that sent his son on the cross to be executed by the Roman soldiers, but yet rolled the stone away 3 days later. That God, that's the God I want to point out to you. If you don't believe in that God, the rest are false gods. Christians and non-Christians, listen to me for a second, okay? And entertain me for a second. If we believe in Buddhism, which is what I grew up, some of my family members still does, if we believe in Buddhism, if we believe in Hinduism or Unitarianism or meditation or achieve some kind of higher power on your own or a spiritual high, how do we reconcile with the thought who created the heavens and the earth? Who's the creator? If we go out and and search our own salvation. Who created everything? And when you die, what happens to you? If human can achieve their own salvation, when we simply evolve from a single cell to something that can move, like an amoeba type, and then we grew four legs, and we walk on four legs, and we evolve even more, and we start to walk on two legs, and then we evolve some more, and then we start to speak, and then we learn different ways of speech. And then all of a sudden, we decided to go and search for our own meaning and spiritual supremacy and save ourselves from this world. Then how do we deal with the idea of then who created the world for us to go to? How did all this come to be? What are we saving ourselves from? If you think about it in that sense of spiritual searching, then life is nothing but a sunrise and a sunset, and everything happens in between is by chance, and we die and that's it. But then if we believe in life after death, then what's the point of pursuing spiritual happiness? Because then who created the life after death? who provide that space for us? Who's going to manage it? So that doesn't make sense. So there are two types of people in this world. Those who, either you're going to believe in God or fear God, or you're going to reject God altogether. And the book of Joshua is the foundation of our faith of how all this come to be. This is the beginning of God's chosen people. God is taking back the land of Canaan, the land that he created. He's marching in. He says, this is mine, the land of overflow of milk and honey. Remember, the Canaanites represents a rebellious generations and generations and generations that we continue to reject God's law. And God is coming. And he marched into Canaan. And they did the unthinkable. Listen to this. Verse 1. All the people, they came together. Verse 3. They came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of the Gibeon. Here's the ironic part about this statement. In verse 1, it says, now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, here's the ironic part. When all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, what did they hear? They heard an inexperienced group of people who were slaves for centuries with no military background defeated one of the most powerful kingdom that ever existed on the face of the earth, which is the Egyptians. That's what they heard. They heard that these group of people cross over to the Jordan on the flood stage on dry ground. That's what they heard. They heard that as they go into Jericho, the walls of Jericho, seven layers, no one touched it. They all marched around it and it fell down. That's what they heard. They heard going into Ai, and wipe everybody out. That's what they heard. They heard that these people with no military experience was able to defeat everybody in their sight because God was with them. Now, if I hear that, you think what do you think I would do? Let's see what you would do. Forget about that. I'm going to go with these guys, right? But in just the opposite, they did the unthinkable. They begin to Google. You guys want to join team? You guys want to get together? You guys want to plan this? Because we can actually get together and defeat these guys. That's what, well, they didn't have Google back then, but you get the idea. They got together and they said, let's go and wage war against this God. Except the Gibeonites. They put on scuffy clothes, pack worn out of wineskin and bread that was moldy, and they made a short 5 mile trip. They went to see Joshua, and they says, we are your servants. We are your servants. Think about this for a second. You know how hard that was? To leave your allies, to leave the Hivites, the Jebusites, to leave every connections you had west of the Jordan, of all the people that you used to do business with, to leave them behind and walk up to Joshua with your people and says, made us your servants. When I was in the 9th grade of high school, I left my Buddhist faith, left everything I know about Buddhism, even my own family worship, even the one thing that my mom had in her pocket to hold on to from the country we call Vietnam that she loves, and leave all that to follow this God, and committed myself, said, God, I'm going to serve you, because any position in God's kingdom, it's better than 1,000 allies. Amen? Because any position in God's kingdom, it's better than 1,000 allies. We see that there's Jesus told this parable. So Jesus came on the scene, and he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a couple people around him, and he says, let me tell you a story. There was a man, he was a rich man, and he has 2 sons. And one of the sons says, Father, give me all my inheritance. You are dead to me, so give me all my inheritance. So they belong to me anyways, because when you die, you're going to hand this down. So give me my portion. So the father agreed and split the inheritance in half, and he gave half to the older brother and gave half to the younger brothers. So the younger brother took all of his inheritance and went off. As he went off into a foreign land, and he started to squander off all of his wealth, whatever he did, however he spent it, just thinking the world was wrapped around his finger because he has a lot of money, and he squandered it all off. And at the end of the story, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he says, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your higher servants. So he got up and went to his father, because this son realized any position in his father's house, any position essentially in God's house, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? There are 2 types of people in this world. Those who reject God, and they'll find community groups. It's not hard to find some people to agree with you. You just go on Google, they'll find support groups, they find community groups, they find beach workouts, they'll find meditation group, they'll find 5 people to sit around and team up to reject God altogether. And they call that spiritual enlightenment. And they search and they go and they find and they turn to substance, they turn to all kinds of things to stop God, to reject God. And then there are the Gibeonites, who heard about God, who stepped out on their own, risking their lives, their businesses, their allies, their protection, knowing they had to be shrewd. To get mercy from Joshua. I do need to tell you, so Joshua found out that they were from a not from far away, but they were just short miles away. And we deal with that next week. But to think about the Gibeonites, to leave everything they known, everything they had, every business connections they had, their own family, their own, you know, background, what they know, to go to Joshua and say, "We're your servants." I often talk to people about God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And most of the time I run into people who already have their mind made up, especially in Boca Raton. And then we come down to the last statement of all of our conversation is that, well, I can't believe in God because I am this. You mean your identity is something you made up? I can't believe in God because I'm Jewish. I can't because I'm Jewish, so I can't believe in God. I can't believe in God because I'm a fisherman. Like, I can't believe in God. I'm a fisherman, so I can't believe in God. I can't believe in God because I'm Buddhist. I'm whatever. I'm a yoga. I'm a spiritual. I can't believe in God because I'm this. Like, so you reject God because you have come up with some people who team up with you to say you're this now. That's your identity. You can't accept God. So Joshua found out that they were shrewd about their decision. So he says, "How can you do this to us?" Picking up at verse 22, then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, "Why did you receive us by saying, 'We live a long away from you,' while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never be released from service as woodcutters and water carrier for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God has commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all of its inhabitants from before you. So we fear for our lives because of you." And that's why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems fit and good and right to you. Joshua saved them from the Israelites and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and carriers, and water carriers. What's fascinating between these passages of scripture for me is you see this book of Joshua as they enter into the land and God commanded them, "Hey, take everybody out. Don't keep anything. Don't take anything. I want you to take over this land. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. Don't worship any other gods. This land I have handed to you." And all these mean statements, arrogant from God, exclusivity from God, all these things that your friends tell you. God is a mean God in the Old Testament. And all these stories in the book of Joshua creeps in these two stories. Rahab, the prostitute, and the Gibeonites, who was not a people of God. Between these two these stories in the book of Joshua creeps in these two stories, Rahab, the prostitute, and the Gibeonites. I want you guys to know something. Rahab and the Gibeonites are you and I. These stories serves for us a reminder that God is a serious God as can be about his holiness. And he demands our complete obedience. But at the same time, he cares for and he saves those who earnestly seek him. That's you and I, Rahab and the Gibeonites. He cares about his holiness. He demands our utmost obedience, but yet he saves those who earnestly seek him. So during the crucifixion of Jesus, all his disciples were running off. People were hiding. They were afraid they're going to get captured by the Roman soldiers. So they're all running off. They were hiding. And Jesus was on the cross. And to his right and to his left, there were two other criminals that was crucifying with him that day. And pick up in Luke chapter 23, it says this. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insult at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself." And then the other guy on the other side of Jesus says, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing. Nothing wrong. And he says, he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? It's on the screen. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There are two types of people in this world. Either you reject God, which one of the guys did, or you can fear God. Out of desperation, the Gibeonites and Rahab, the thief on the cross, did whatever they had to do, because any position in God's house is way better than anywhere else. There are two types of people. Do you fear God? Or you reject God. And those who fear God will step out on faith and live by faith. Here's the honesty and the bad news. There will be more and more people who will team up to reject God. The Bible doesn't end well. I don't know if you know that or not. Like, this here doesn't end well. There will be more and more people that will team up together to reject God. Even worse is when Jesus comes back, there will be less and less people who will believe in God. And what's even worse, you and I, who will stand up and say, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is the one true God. And here it tells me that you will be rejected and persecuted. You will be shunned out of the marketplace. You will lose some friends. You will not allow to go shop at certain places simply because you believe in God. Yes, Christianity is the largest religion in the world. But compared to world population, we are very small. Very, very small. But yet, Rahab, the Gibeonites, the thief on the cross, the 12 apostles who stepped out on faith, fear God, and live by faith. Christianity doesn't seem to be represented by the majority, doesn't it? You know, it seems like following God is not the popular thing to do anymore. And you know that. But following God is not the popular thing to do these days. You know what's even sad is even God-believing Christians who don't view the Bible as the actual Word of God. What's even sadder is that Christians who come to church don't even know what God they're worshiping. As long as they hear some kind of inspirational quote to get them by the day, and they're okay with that. As long as the songs is fast, the music is loud, they're okay with that. Don't even know that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the Yahweh, the God of the Judaism faith that we believe in, that took us out of slavery and marched us into the land of Canaan of overflowing with milk and honey. Some also have a hard time accepting the Bible as God's word because God seems to be so angry, mad, judgmental, arrogant in the Old Testament. Doesn't he? So some Christians actually believe, they say, well, the Old Testament is irrelevant now, so I only turn to Jesus in the New Testament because he's a much nicer God. He's a much nicer person. What he says makes more sense to me. So I don't want to believe in the Old Testament, so let me just turn to the New Testament. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same God. It's the same God. And this whole thing is the inspired word of God. And if we think Jesus is a much nicer God in the New Testament, you're far off. Because standing up here, talking to you about the scripture, do you know how hard it is? And I'm about to tell you this. Brace yourself. Jesus says this, John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. Do you even understand how hard that is? No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are not nice words. Those are not inclusive. Those are not, hey, I'm going to be nice to everybody. Anyone can come to that. No. Those are words that God said to Joshua, don't turn right, don't turn left, don't make treaty with anybody because I am your God. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. God offers us an opportunity to step out of popularity, our own identity that we think to find here on this earth. He asks us to stand apart from the crowd, turn away from our own path, and walk with him. Because any position in God's house, it's better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen. I hope I can still read this. Those who follow God in the Old Testament had a really rougher time than you do. Because they have to make this known and they have to live by faith even though they didn't have all these support groups. They just have to live by faith. So every day they have to walk out and say, I want to believe. I'm believing. I'm walking out in faith. I believe in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I believe this God. I don't care what the Hivites, the Jebusites, all these surrounding country, all the Mediterraneans, all the Greeks. I don't care what they all say to me. I'm going to believe in this God. I don't care if you're going to reject me from my business. I don't care if you're going to reject me from my land. I don't care if you're going to reject me out of my house. But I'm going to believe in this God because 1,000 elsewhere is not worth it. So the psalmist had this little nugget of truth for us to live by. In Psalm 84, verse 10, it says this, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestow favor and honor. No good things does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's stand. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. You have these things in your hands that as you walked in. Go ahead and grab a seat. And I'm missing mine. No, my communion. Can you bring me a communion? want you to know how special this is. Every Sunday we do this here at our church. We don't think it's wrong that people don't do it every Sunday, by the way. But we do it here every Sunday at our church because here at Connected Life Christian Church, we want to remind you every Sunday that you are loved, forgiven, and blessed by God simply because He died on a cross for your sins. And that's enough. And that's enough. So as we take this every Sunday, Jesus, before He was betrayed, He says, "This is my body for you. And do this in remembrance of me." At the same time, He took the cup and He says, "This is my blood." He says, "Being poured out for you for forgiveness. Do this in remembrance of me." So as you take this every Sunday, I want you to know how special this is. That you are a child of God. Amen? Let's take this together. God wants to hear from you. He does. He wants to hear, how you doing? He wants to hear, are you okay? And He's not a mean or distant God. He's not mad or angry at you. Yes, He commands your utmost worship and obedience and respect. But at the same time, and within His rules and His laws, creeps in Rahab, the prostitute, and the Gibeonites, and the thief on the cross, and the 12 apostles, and your own pastor. And you know, some of you sitting in this room, you're like, yeah, you're right. How can He love someone like me? The next few moments, as you take the communion in your hands already, and He wants to hear from you. Whatever you have, pray to God. Just spend some time. God, we thank You for Your love and Your grace. God, through our messes, through our own silly ways and our disobedience, yet You provided a way. And You are patiently waiting for us to come to grip that You are our God. That everything has a beginning and an end. God, forgive us where we fall short. All of us. God, we're so glad that we are Your children. That any position in Your house, it's better than 1,000 allies. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have a baptistry here. We have change of clothes. We have towels. And today could be your day where you said, I don't want to reject this God, and I want to know more. but let me have some mercy. The cross means something. It means your life can start new today in Christ Jesus. So if that's you this morning, you've never been baptized, I'm inviting you to come forward here during this song. I'm here to receive you. Also, our elders will be up here as well. If you need some prayers, if you're watching with us online, go ahead and type in or message me. I'd love to connect with you. But just need some prayers this morning. Our elders will be up here to pray with you and pray for you. But don't leave here today and try to team up with everybody else. God is asking you to step out. Because you're the Gibeonites. We are. We need God's mercy. Let's sing.